Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. It's good to see you. It's been some time. And trust God is keeping you well. Yeah, I'm back. So yesterday we traveled a bit, but it's good we're back. Yeah. Today, by the grace of God, we will carry on. Yesterday, we did a teaching on the evangelists. So you can also follow that. And we've been looking at the gifts, what we call the fivefold or the fourfold, or rather the ascension gifts. You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, that when he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. And these are the five gifts. The Bible says he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be teachers, pastors. Some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. So just quickly jumping there so that you can see the verse. It says that, let me see if I can make it in a way that it's bigger so that you can see if you're using your phone. Okay. Fine, let me, hopefully that will work. So it says verse 11, and he gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So some people classify it as fivefold ministry in that they separate pastors and teachers, but others classify it as fourfold ministry, which they call it pastors and teachers are classified together. And but ideally, okay, the most important thing, and I think we've done a teaching on that, is that there's no difference. It's just that in any house, in any place, in any system, in any government, there is order. So there's rank in terms of those that come first for the sake of order, just like in a family. We are both equal to God, the husband and the wife, but then God places that the husband to be the head of the home. So for there are reasons for that, so that there is order, and so in the house of God there is also order. So the apostles are placed first, and then the prophets, and then the evangelists and pastors and teachers. And but what we know and what we see from God, each one is given their specific task. If each of them fail to do their part, they shall not receive the reward from God. So what is expected of an apostle is significant. What is expected of a prophet is has their work. Pastors, teachers, they have their work. And their work is, which is verse 12, which is the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So as long as you are either of this fivefold, remember, if God has called you to be one of this fivefold, you have a responsibility of perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry. And remember, I said that all of us, every believer is a minister. We are called to do the work of ministry. And many times we think the work of ministry is only for the leaders, for the fivefold, but you see the Bible says we are perfect. Their work is to perfect us. Their work is to perfect the saints for the work of ministry. So, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the work of ministry is done by believers, is done by members, is done by those who are not in the leadership, because they are perfected to do it. So if you find yourself you're not doing any work of ministry, then you're not being obedient, or you've not yet understood that the work of ministry is for the members. And also the Bible also tells us that till we all come into unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and then we'll no longer be children being tossed here and forth by every wind of doctrine. So basically what we see is that there is a role that God places this people. And today we wanted to look at the pastors. And there's a reason why it's good that we look at the pastors, because the pastors are very critical to the heart of God. And I want us to just show us a good verse that I love, which is Jeremiah 33, verse 15. And it just simply says, "And I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Maybe I can just show you so that you can be able to read it and to know it. And this was God speaking to the Israelites that, you know, when after you've turned back from backsliding and you're coming back, it says, "And I will give you pastors according to my own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." And the word pastors and shepherds are used interchangeably. So it says, "I will give you pastors, I will give you shepherds after my own heart, after my own heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." You see, so God is the giver of pastors. If God has given you a pastor over your life, then God really loves you, because pastors, especially pastors who are after God's heart, then you know that God loves you, because they have a responsibility. One, you can see, is that they shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So pastors are shepherds. You have to think of a pastor and a shepherd in the form of a shepherd, or someone who takes care of sheep. So pastors are given the responsibility of our flock. That means God gives them, trusts them with people who are under their care. You have to think of it like a mother, or like when a parent is given children, then they have a responsibility to grow them up, to nurture them, to train them, you know, to discipline them, to guide them, to give them instruction. So it is very important that you submit yourself to a house, to a church. Every apostle needs to be part of a congregation. Every apostle needs a pastor. Every evangelist needs a pastor. Every prophet needs a pastor. So every fivefold member needs a pastor. Every teacher needs a pastor. So a pastor is more of like a father figure in the church. God has given them a big heart. Pastors will love you. They will care for you. When the evangelist is, for lack of a better word, condemning you against sin, against what you've done, against the need to repent, the pastor, yes, will condemn you, but will also follow after you. When you've been excommunicated from a church, the heart of the pastor will reach out for you, will look after you, will go and follow you, and will go and find you. So the heart of a pastor is concerned for the flock and looks after them. So I want us to look at John chapter 10, and it speaks of the good shepherd, and it speaks of the description of what we see of what a pastor should be. And John chapter 10, from verse 1, it says, "Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up by some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." So if God has not given you a pastor, then you might be dealing with a thief and a robber. So that is something that you have to understand. So you have to know, has God given you a pastor or a thief and a robber? And it says, verse 2, "But he that enters in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he lead them out." So the responsibility of the pastors is that they know their members. They look for them. They keep reaching out for them. They're interested in their well-being. They're interested in their growing, in their children, in their marriages, in their, you know, their birthdays. They're interested in their, you know, also they also support in critical moments in their deaths, in, you know, in funeral services and all that. So, and when he, verse 5, "And the stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know the voice of strangers." Verse 6, the Bible says, this parable Jesus spake to them, but they understood not what the things which he spake unto them. Verse 7, "Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Verse 10, "The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundant." Verse 11 is what I want us to focus on. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Or rather, the good shepherd lay down his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, or he that is a hired hand, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, when he sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for their sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I must also bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold. So we can see that Jesus is describing the characteristics of a good pastor, the characteristics of a good shepherd, is that one who lays down his life for the sheep. When you have a hireling, when you have a hired hand, when the wolf comes, the hireling will never defend the sheep. The hireling will run away. The hireling is for pay. And sadly, nowadays, we have so many hirelings in the name of pastors, and for them, their focus is, you know, it becomes like a business where you are signed. You know, this pastor is signed from this church. It's like becomes like superstars. So you find that it is whoever gives the best offer, then they move. But you see, the Bible says the good shepherd is not a hireling. I mean, a shepherd should lay down his life for the sheep. When he sees the wolf coming, he's able to fight, he's able to defend. And this speaks of also spiritual issues, because, you know, there are various attacks that come to members, there are various issues that come. So the good shepherd is concerned, is able to stand in the gap. It's just like you can imagine a hen. When the hen sees the hawk or the eagle coming, it gathers the chicks together and shields them and protects them. And so the pastor is given that responsibility by God to protect, to nurture, to care for. And that's why even Jesus speaks in Matthew 23 verse 37, when, you know, he's crying about Jerusalem. He says, "Oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, oh how I have longed to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks." You know, so you can see that Jesus was crying against Jerusalem, the place that kills their prophets. And you can see Jesus had compassion for the masses. He could see them. They are like scattered, like sheep without a shepherd. So pastors often, whenever God gives them a heart for the church, they give them a heart for the body. They want to feed the body. They want to encourage the body. And even when they find members are lost, you can see it will go and look for other sheep that don't belong to it and bring them so that they are one flock under one shepherd. So they have that heart of evangelism. They have that heart of care. They have that heart of nurture. They have also that heart of discipleship. And this, even for discipleship, you can read from 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I will encourage us, if you're interested, to read, to understand more about the pastoral ministry. It is important that you read the what we call the pastoral epistles, which are Timothy. Timothy is one of the pastoral epistles, and Titus, because these are the two books that were written by Paul as encouragement to his sons, who he had sent to, you know, to cover churches, so, and to be responsible over churches. So let us look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll just read the first few verses. It says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living," okay, "the quick and the dead at his appearing and has his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch that thou in all things endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry." So you can see Paul was giving guidance to Timothy, his son, who he had sent to pastor the church in Ephesus, and he clearly tells him that you need to be ready every time. Preach the word. Be ready instant. You know, be instant, like be instantaneous. Be ready at any moment in and every season to preach the word. As pastors, they always will meet people in difficult situations. They'll meet people who are suffering. They'll meet people who are hungry. They'll meet people who need encouragement. But what the Bible says, be ready, be instant, have a word in season and out of season. That's why you'll find even pastors, they've just gone through difficult. A pastor can pray you through a difficult season when they are also facing the same. He could even be facing loss, but because God has called him to be in season and out of season, they will preach whether there's only one person coming, whether there are 100 people coming, they will be consistent because it is a calling that comes from above. And the Bible tells them, you know, to be a workman approved of God who correctly divides the word of truth. So the work that they do is unto the Lord. So we have to be very concerned. So you can see they have the work of reproving, they have the work of rebuking, they have the word of encouraging, exhorting, and with all patience and doctrine. So pastors have, they're given a responsibility, they can rebuke you, but when they do it in love. They can encourage you, they can correct you, they can be patient with you, and they have doctrine. So if you find someone has these characteristics, then that is when you can say that this person has a shepherd's heart or has a calling, and this will be recognized by others, has the calling of a pastor. So let's just quickly go to 1 Peter chapter 5, where it speaks of the good shepherd who is Christ, and also speaks of the behaviors that are expected of a pastor. 1 Peter chapter 5, it says that, "The elders which are among you, I exhort you, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory shall be revealed. Feed the flock." You can look at the characteristics being told. "Feed the flock which is among you." And just be clear before I continue. When say he write to the elders among you, the word elders there is I think it's in Greek is presbyteros. Huh? And presbyteros means the clergy. You know, it's why where the Presbyterian Church is, or so it's the word that is used for the clergy or the leaders. So or even you can use it for the pastors, all these fivefold, all these leaders that God has used. So he's telling them as an elder, also as an elder among you. So Peter did not consider himself such different from them, but he's also telling them, I'm also an elder among you. I'm also a clergy among you and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He tells them, feed the flock. So pastors are called to feed the flock. Feed the flock. Remember, God said, I will give you pastors after my own heart who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Feed the flock of God. Remember, it's not even the flock of the pastor. And that is why we should always be sensitive that it is not my church. It is not my church. It is not an individual's church. It is the flock of God. And anytime you see them as that, then you will always be careful to do your part, to do your due diligence, to be concerned, and to not take advantage of the flock. It says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight therefore, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but be, okay, maybe let me just, okay, be a ready mind, neither as being lords of God's heritage, but being examples and samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Maybe let's just do New Living Translation, which is simpler. Verse 2, it says, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Do not lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. So you see, pastors, God has a warning that care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. That means you need to have care. That it's a trust. It's not an ownership. And do it willingly and not grudgingly, not complaining, not with a heavy heart. The Bible says, and also don't be after gain, because you find there are people who are just after what will I get, what will I get. But the Bible says, but be because you are eager to serve. Do not lord it over the people assigned to you, okay, but lead them by your good example. Always set an example to the flock. Let us also look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, where it also speaks of the character that we need to see of pastors or leaders or elders. Remember, when we speak of elders, we are speaking of the presbyteros, who are those who are responsible. So the Bible says, this is a trustworthy, if someone aspires to be an elder or a leader or a overseer or a bishop or a church leader, he desires an honorable thing. So a church leader must be a man whose life is above reproach. That means he should not be having issues. He must be faithful to his wife. He must exercise self-control, live wisely, and have a good reputation. He must enjoy having guests in his home, and he must be able to teach. He must not be a heavy drinker or be violent. He must be gentle, not quarrelsome, and not love money. He must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. For if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? Verse 6, a church leader must not be a new believer, a new convert, because he might become proud and the devil will cause him to fall. Also, people outside the church must speak well of him so that he will not be disgraced and fall into the devil's trap. And further on, it speaks of deacons. In the same way, deacons, maybe you can take time to read that. Maybe we'll also, maybe if God helps us, we'll have a session on deacons. Yeah, so we can see that there is character that is expected of a pastor or of a leader or of a clergy. I mean, and the Bible is very clear. If you desire this, you desire a noble thing, you desire an honorable thing. And it is a good thing to desire to be a leader. Let no one never make you feel that, oh, this is, you know, you're desiring the wrong thing. Remember, the Bible tells us there are things that we desire. When we desire, you can desire spiritual gifts, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, eagerly you can if someone desires the office of a leadership, then you desire a noble thing. So the Bible says, but your character, your life, you must be a man who is above reproach, faithful to his wife, married to one wife, must live self-controlled, you must live wisely, have a good reputation with outsiders, you must enjoy having people in your house, you should be able to be hospitable, you should be able to teach, you should not be a heavy drinker or be violent, gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money, manage your own family well, having children who respect and obey him. And so these are various aspects that we can see that God calls for pastors. So what I can say just in summary, that the pastoral call has to be a lifelong vocation of tending to the growth of fellow believers. It's not just something that you start and stop, but it has to be lifelong. It has to be something that God places in your heart, a burden to take care of people, and it is not for what you will gain for them, but your delight is that you see them grow. And that's what you'll see. Good pastors will be happy. Even if you come and tell them that, oh, but they are moving to another church, they'll be like, let's pray so that God keeps you. And I'm happy that as long as you're in the faith, because the flock does not belong to the individual. It does not belong to the pastor, but it belongs to Christ. So a good pastor recognizes that the sheep are not his. They belong to Christ, and they need to be catered for. So the good shepherd is one that will defend his flock from ferocious wolves and must watch out for the flock under their care. Pastors are given the heart of a father, as I've said that, to preach, to disciple, to nurture, to correct and discipline. God's gift for the church is pastors and shepherds. I will give you pastors and shepherds after my own heart. And let's also be sensitive that the Bible tells us that scatter the sheep. This is what is written. I will scatter the sheep. I will strike the shepherd and scatter the sheep. So the devil is always after shepherds. He's always after pastors. Please, please, please pray for your pastors. Many times we forget them. and we don't pray for them. Pray for them. The Bible says, honor them, those who serve well above you, especially those whose their job is preaching and teaching. And maybe just we can quickly look at that. 1 Timothy, is it? Let me see if I have the verse correct. 5:17, yes. The Bible says, elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well. Especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. And in another place, those who work deserve their pay. I love this version. It puts it very simple. That elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well. And if you look at King James, it says, elders who work among you should be considered worthy of double honor. That's the word that is used in King James. It says they are considered worthy of double honor. But basically what that means, they should be paid well. So as congregations, as leaders, or as, let us see that we support pastors, especially those maybe who are not able to support themselves, especially those who labor at preaching and teaching. See that they are paid well, see that they are respected, see that they are worthy of double honor, because what they are doing is a labor unto the Lord. And the Bible says that if an ox is working, do not close its mouth. When it says do not muzzle the mouth of an ox to keep it from eating as it treads the grain, that means that as the cows or the oxes were working, they were allowed to eat freely, because as they are working, I mean, there's grass ahead of them, there's food ahead of them, let them eat. You should not close its mouth, and yet it is working. So if God was concerned about oxen, how about those who do his work? So that is basically what Paul was trying to teach. And then the Bible also, we are also learning that pastors must watch over their life and doctrine, and they continually must study to show themselves workmen approved of God. And we can just see that quickly in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, which says that study to show yourself a workman. Let me look at NLT. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the words of truth. King James puts it nicely where it says, study to show yourself a workman approved who correctly divides the word of truth. So pastors must be careful about how they study. They must watch over their life and doctrine, because their life and doctrine will save people. And they must be examples to the flock in their life, in their character, in their family management, so that they shall not put the gospel to shame. Yeah, so I'll stop there. I believe that God is giving us communication about pastors. And if God has called you to be a pastor, you will see it in your encounters with people. You'll see it with your care for people. You will see it in how you're concerned for people. You will see it in teaching. You will see it in your character. And it is something that even your leaders will recognize and will tell you, I think you are a pastor. I think you have a pastoral call. And when you see that, then do the part, study, and just prepare. Even if you will never be appointed, even if you'll be a leader, it is never about it is never about the title, but it's about the function. You can function as a pastor even if you're not ordained as a pastor, but you can be ordained as a pastor and you don't function as a pastor. So let us be careful that it is not the title that makes you a pastor, but it is the function. It is what you're doing that makes you a pastor. And all these offices that God is giving, remember, they're all the same. So a pastor to God is equal as an apostle. A pastor is equal as an evangelist. A pastor is equal as a prophet. Because to God, they are the same. They are all at the same. They are all given the same gift to him. Whatever is given, their reward is the same. So never feel that you are less because you are a pastor. You want to ordain yourself as an apostle, or you want to make yourself a prophet. You want to make yourself, like I saw someone called himself an evangelistic prophet. Apostolic evangelistic. I mean, there are so many, after so many titles, because of the differences in times, there is no need for that. The most important thing is just do the call that God has done and given you, and that is more than enough. And to God, he will just say, well done, good and faithful servant. So I'll stop there for now, and I'll welcome any questions or any feedback from my friends. Yes. If there is. Is there any addition? Yeah, Tabo, go ahead.
No feedback for me. I think you've been very clear.
Okay, thank you. Good, good, good. Yes.
Thank you so much. It's okay. Clara, and I don't have you've covered that.
Yeah.
But I think people should be aware of, you know, the attributes of a pastor, because now you see more wolves than real shepherds.
Mm.
And kind of just said, because in my own experience, I've also had people who tried to start controlling people.
Mm.
And just drove people away.
Hmm.
Despite the fact, yes, they were clergy, and so getting it clear as our own responsibility is that we should, even if we don't have that calling, but Christ that applies to everyone, who is called Christ, and I think. Also, don't say, oh, because I'm not a pastor, then this does not apply to me. Mm. I think we should also see that as blameless, because the world is watching, everyone watching, and we're an example to other people.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's very good that you've just said. And it's very sad because, and I think someone called it, it's you can transgress even as a pastor, in that when you go over above what is right, you know, it's like where you get to a point where you're controlling people, you even determine who they marry, you do, you know, that's, yes, even if God has given you leadership, there is God also in himself does not go beyond, there is a limit to which he will guide, he will never force it, he will never load it, and thank you for that we should not control people, we should not seek to control. And what I will always say, if you find that you're under a robber and a thief, please find another place. Either correct it, address it, and if it continues, then ask to, or just quietly leave and find a place where you can submit to. It is better to submit to a place that you believe in rather than to be outside and to be a flock on their own and say, no, I don't need to go to church, all pastors are thieves and robbers. No, God always has people that he has reserved for himself who are faithful and who can lead you. So that's what I will always say. If you're in the wrong place, you don't need to stay there. Please find somewhere else and find, and God will lead you. And the Bible says, I will give you pastors and shepherds after my own heart. So it's God who gives, and when God gives you, you also have a responsibility to submit and to work with them. Okay, so let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, we give you thanks, we praise you, we worship your holy name. We thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and your favor. Thank you for this day that, Lord, you've kept us, you've sustained us, you've watched over us. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. I honor, I adore you, and I lift up your name. Thank you for the word, the Lord. It is in season, the Lord, you've called us, and I pray that indeed you shall carry on. I pray for my listeners. Thank you for their needs, for their days ahead. The Lord, you go ahead of them, you keep them, you sustain them, you watch over them, protect them, and keep them in all things. May your hand and power be with them in everything. We honor you and we adore you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. God bless you.